So like Ajamil, many conditioned souls are distracted by sense gratification. Their senses are otherwise engaged, not in Krishna's service. So Vaishnava tries to change that, like a big river flows, huh? There's, what do they call it, the current of the river. It carries the conditioned souls as a current of Maya. And to change course, to go against the current, that's what the Vaishnava tries to teach the conditioned soul to do. So that takes some training. It's not so easy, a little difficult to go against the current of material life. But suppose I told you it was as easy as just taking a few breaths of fresh air. You could give up all suffering, you could give up all sinful activity, give up attraction to sex life, just by taking a few breaths of fresh air. It sounds easy. And in a sense, that's all that's required. And if we look at it from the point of view of the yogis have methods, pranayama and other hatha yoga methods, to control the senses and mind and bring them under the higher self, under the direction of the higher self, the intelligence. But of course, in this age, yoga is not recommended. It's a little difficult, and therefore we need more help from the Vishnu Dutas, from the Vaishnavas. And therefore, Prabhupada says here, the Vaishnavas come to the rescue. They try to help the conditioned souls get their senses under control, bring them to their senses. So that's one nice point here. Ajamil was in a half dead condition. Practically, I think he had fainted also, maybe out of fear. He was so near the point of death, and he saw the Yamadutas. But he became free from fear at this point, because the Yamadutas took off the nooses around the neck. You can imagine if you were going to be hanged or dragged somewhere by a noose, huh? It's very... You realize I'm at the point where I'm about to give up my life. Someone's going to hang me, or they're going to drag me to my death. And very... despair. It's full of despair, that kind of moment. What do? You're helpless. But somehow there was a miracle happened. And the same thing is true for us. Srila Prabhupada said once, when he was asked whether he could perform a miracle, he says, "My miracle is I changed the Westerners into devotees." So, like Ajamil, the devotees were aware that Srila Prabhupada saved them. And when Srila Prabhupada came to visit us, we were, like Ajamil, extremely pleased by their presence. It's mentioned here. Darshana Utsava. Darshan means to see, to have to be within, in the presence of the Vaishnava, and to hear him. Darshan means to hear also, to hear the speaking of the glorification of Krishna. And Utsava, you know Utsava, what it means? Festival, yeah. So Darshan Utsava, how much it was a festival for Ajamil to see the Vishnu Dutas, and for us also, who were at the point of death. We were at the point of death when Srila Prabhupada rescued us. Especially maybe Maybe the devotees who saw Srila Prabhupada, maybe they experienced this the most. Maybe if you don't have the darshan in the physical form of Srila Prabhupada, maybe you missed. But you can see the videos. You can see how we were in the presence of Prabhupada. I was fortunate enough in January 1974, the same time of year, to see Srila Prabhupada. I was a new member of ISKCON. I joined on a Friday. On Saturday, the temple commander told me to get in the car with some devotees going to Los Angeles because Srila Prabhupada was there, and he said, "You'll see Srila Prabhupada Sunday morning." So we were chanting japa in the temple room after Mangalarti. Prabhupada went on a walk to Venice Beach. I didn't see him until he came to greet the deities. And the first thing that I saw was what I saw after I paid my obeisances. Prabhupada came in the room when the Govindam prayer started, and we all paid obeisances. So we didn't see him walking in the room up to the altar. When we stood up, then we saw him by the altar. And by then, he was paying full dandavats before Sri Sri Gornatai's altar. So my first impression of Prabhupada, here is the servant of Gaur, Nitai, or Vishnu, or Krishna. Srila Prabhupada on the temple room floor, paying obeisances. And then he gave a class and, of course, spoke in a wonderful way. I always tell the devotees who ask, when they say, "Can you tell us something about being with Prabhupada?" I mention how Prabhupada quoted a verse in the first lecture I heard about what is the destination after death of various kinds of worshippers. Some worshippers worship the demigods. They go to the demigods' planets. Others worship ghosts and spirits, and they actually end up in those environments with ghosts. Others worship forefathers. You can go to places where your forebears are. I don't know exactly how that works, but the same kind of thinking is in the Catholic Church. They believe that people who don't go to heaven go to a purgatory where they get further purification. Before they can go to heaven, they have to be further purified. So when my grandmother died, I used to think maybe she's up in the sky in purgatory watching me. And then what else? If you worship Krishna, what happens? You come to me. Krishna says, "You come to me." So Srila Prabhupada was reciting this information with his eyes closed in a very calm way on the Vyasasan, with his hands on his knees like this. And when he said, "And Krishna says, you come to me," then with his finger, he went like this. And I was impressed how, the message of Krishna is personal. Krishna gives a message speaking as a person. "You come to me." And Prabhupada used to stress this. Aham means I. And you can't get away from the personality of Godhead in the Bhagavad Gita, even though people try to misinterpret it. So like a Jamil, he was bowing before the servants of Vishnu. It says, bowing his head, offering his respectful obeisances. Vavande sirasa Vishnu kinkaram darshana utsavaha. Yes, there are several places in the Srimad Bhagavatam which discuss the misfortune of the conditioned soul, why he has to be saved. Why do the scriptures say that The conditioned souls are rotting in this world. And why do the Vaishnavas feel that the conditioned souls have to be saved from material pangs and punishment in hell after death? So the Vaishnavas, the great devotees, they get this perception from the Shastras and from hearing from their own spiritual masters. Kardama Muni says, when he has the darshan of the Lord, "My Lord, you manifest this creation just for our sensual satisfaction. You are so kind that you allow the sense enjoyers to enjoy as they like in a separate world created by you. Yet at the same time you appear in personal forms, or you send reliable sons or servants, or reliable authors like Vyasadev," and we could add reliable authors like Srila Prabhupada, "to give instruction." Prabhupada explains that this propaganda work goes on side by side with the creation to persuade the conditioned souls rotting here to return to Krishna. So we see how God is actually compassionate. He's very compassionate. He comes from Vaikuntha to this world where we're trying to enjoy. And he asks us, "Why are you rotting here? And surrender to me and you'll be happy." So we say, okay, you could go to hell if you ignore Krishna, but we don't say you'll be eternally damned. For some time you'll have to be punished. I had that feeling when my father died, because he was a meat eater. I thought, well, Krishna will help him. Somehow Krishna will show him an opportunity to take up some more devotional service than he could do in this life. But for the time being, maybe sometime in hell, there's some punishment. It's not that the hellish planets are eternal for conditioned soul. Usually not. You'd have to be a really, really staunch demon to remain perpetually in hell. There may be some of those, but for the most part, people don't suffer eternally in hell. Rather, we can say they're on their way back to Godhead, because Krishna is trying to help everyone. It isn't that anyone is out of Krishna's range of assistance. Krishna can assist anybody. But the thing is, he waits until we want to hear him. Normally we're stubborn. We don't want to go with Krishna. But he keeps looking for opportunities to take us, because he's like an affectionate father whose son is a rascal, whose son leaves home. And the father becomes very disturbed that my son has become a rascal. He'll be in danger. He's living in a way that's not good for him. He's going to destroy himself. He's living maybe on the street. He doesn't have money. Maybe he's taking drugs. He doesn't have shelter. He's suffering. And he could live in the house. He could be a good boy and live in the house and take all the benefits. The father has arranged so many benefits for the children. And Srila Prabhupada used this example, this analogy, to refer to everybody. He said everyone is like a misled child of a wealthy man. who left home. So the Vaishnava thinks the greatest benefit for anybody is to give them Krishna consciousness, because no other material benefit will satisfy them. The analogy breaks down at the point where you could say, well, okay, if the misguided child goes back to the parents, then he'll be happy. He'll enjoy material benefits. But the analogy breaks down there. Prabhupada said, nothing will satisfy the conditioned soul. You can't be happy unless you're actually Krishna conscious. Because otherwise, you'll just suffer material pangs in some form or another. Material pangs don't go away unless you become Krishna conscious. Last night, Giriraj Maharaj was saying that Srila Prabhupada was asked about riding in a Rolls Royce, and he very cleverly told the reporter that the Chintamani stones in Vaikuntha are the highest kind of building material. Chintamani gives you whatever you desire. Kalpavriksha trees also give you whatever you desire. And there's so much opulence in the spiritual world because of these wish-fulfilling substances. So he said a conveyance should be made of Chintamani stones. Even a solid gold Rolls Royce doesn't compare to the Chintamani. So if they had given a gold Rolls Royce, that would not have been as opulent as what the spiritual world actually can provide. So in that way, the man's, the reporter's ideas were expanded, his consciousness was expanded to Krishna consciousness. He'd never heard of the spiritual world or Chintamani. But it's true, we have the wealthiest father, the most opulent father, Krishna, Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yasya, Sriya. The goddess of fortune is Krishna's constant companion. Many thousands of millions, unlimited goddesses of fortune, unlimited wealth, unlimited opulence. But we've forgotten. And we're thinking, I'm here struggling as a Britisher, I'm struggling as an Indian. And people in general, they're thinking, I have to work hard, I have to struggle for my existence. I cannot depend on God. So if you remind people like that to depend on Krishna and go take advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada used to invite people in Los Angeles. We have cars, we're not working, we have wonderful prasadam. We have a nice place to live next to you, and we're not working. Why don't you join us? And people would hesitate. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to serve Krishna. And Prabhupada would say, why don't you want to serve the greatest person? He would argue with them. You're serving this master, that master. Find out who's the greatest master. That's Krishna, Kunja Bihari. People want to enjoy material possessions, therefore they don't want to join the Krishna consciousness movement. They want to play this game of accumulating material goods. Srila Prabhupada said material life simply means accumulating material goods. That's all. And envying others, or making others envy you. I have more than you. I have a bigger car. I have a bigger, nicer place to live. I have nicer things in my flat than you. You may have a more beautiful wife. You may be better educated. But I'm very powerful. I do. I go to the fitness clubs, and I have better health than you. You know, it goes back and forth, back and forth. You wonder all the time, what should I accumulate? What will make me happy? What do I have to have that will make me stand out? How can I look better than others? What do they have? How do they look better than me? But actually, devotional service means I don't have material possessions. And people don't want to give up material possessions. That's one reason they don't join. Srila Prabhupada explained this once. He said that there are so-called saintly persons who advertise, if you give me 1 pound, I'll give you 10. I shall give you 10. I can manufacture gold. I can give you gold. So-called spiritual masters, spiritual persons. They do like that because people want material benefits. Imagine going to the temple and praying, my dear Lord, please increase my earnings or my income or give me more wealth because I want to enjoy material goods. I need money to buy things. Please, please, please give me material wealth. Or going to the spiritual master. Can you imagine asking Radhanath Maharaj, please give me thousands of dollars, Guru Maharaj. No, tens of thousands. And suppose, you know, he said, yes, okay, you give me 1,000 and then I will arrange for you to get 10,000. And there's some kind of bargaining like that. Anyway, it goes on in the name of spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada said that. Because people want to increase their material, their economic prosperity. They want the religion that gives them artha, dharma artha. They want material gain from religion. But Krishna consciousness is not like that. Krishna consciousness means crossing over the material world, not stopping to enjoy so many things, not trying to accumulate material possessions. Huh? What is it then? It's Bhagavad Bhajan. Bhagavad Bhajan. Lord Chaitanya teaches this. Worshipping Krishna. And great devotees set the example. Maharaj Ambarish, Savayamana Krishna, Padaravindayoy. He was absorbed. His mind was absorbed in Krishna. Savayamana Krishna, Padaravindayoy. And all his senses. He's another example of someone who engages the senses, comes to his senses and engages his senses in Krishna's service. Savayamana Krishna, Padaravindayoy. To be absorbed in the lotus feet of Krishna. The devotees are satisfied just thinking and worshipping, thinking of worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna. There's so much pleasure, eternal pleasure. But people don't know that. They are not educated to be Vaishnavas. So they settle for a pleasure that's very miserable. That pleasure of sex life. That's the life and the soul of materialists. Just rubbing skin. They think that's the best enjoyment. It's a shadow of real happiness. It's an illusion. The real enjoyment in the spiritual world is reflected here in the form of these things. But the human population doesn't know this, so the devotees work very hard. Like they work hard. They work hard like cats and dogs to maintain their civilization. They have so many industries, you know, they capitalize on the world the way it is. Everybody needs clothes, so there's all kinds of people trying to make money by selling clothes and shoes to people. I was speaking to Manu this morning. I said, Manu, what's your job now these days? Manu said, I work for a big wholesale clothing store. We supply clothing to so many high street shops. We have accounts with this one and that one and this one and that one. So there's a lot of brain power. There's a lot of organization, organizing all these things that people need in the material world. There's so much need for material goods. And they're all working hard and getting just a little money and enjoying sex life, committing sinful activities. And in that way, their human intelligence is used up. And therefore, the Shastras say they're rotting in this material world. Maya is inflicting suffering upon them. So the Vaishnavas teach you have to get out of this suffering and get the mercy of Krishna. Prithu Maharaj also is aware of this. He takes up the theme of getting out of the material world with the Kumaras. He says that people are entangled in this dangerous material existence. Can they be blessed with any good fortune? He asks the Kumaras. So that's a good question. Can people who are entangled in dangerous material existence be blessed with any good fortune? He actually asks because he's a king. We may think sometimes that the culture that we read about in the Bhagavatam is such a pure culture, none of the people are committing sinful activities or breaking the regulative principles. Every single person in the Bhagavatam who's described in the Bhagavatam keeps the regulative principles, but it's not so. In this purport to this description of Prithu Maharaj, Prabhupada says that Prithu Maharaj is asking as a person who is himself, not he himself maybe, but kings can be entangled in four kinds of sinful activities, associating for illicit sex, eating meat, intoxication, and gambling. These were allowed for the Kshatriyas. So the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas, they were quite different. They did not indulge in those sinful activities. But sometimes they would visit the Kshatriyas. The Bhagavatam is so full of descriptions of saintly persons and Kshatriyas. Those are the two main classes who are described in the Bhagavatam. So that sometimes the kings could have been engrossed in these activities. And from the point of view of the Vaishnava, that's very dangerous to be engaged in sense gratification like that. We know that ordinary grihastha life has the danger of sense gratification. You're allowed to enjoy your senses in grihastha life. So there's a danger there. That's what makes grihastha life inauspicious. And of course, it can be made auspicious when everything is done for Krishna, when sense gratification is stopped. It's only when we stop the desire for sense gratification that we're considered elevated. It's only when we change our desires to the desire to serve Krishna that life becomes auspicious. So Prahlad Maharaj, he's the last one I'll mention. He said, it's not difficult for you, Lord Nrisimhadev. You manage the affairs of the universe. It's not difficult for you to deliver the fallen souls who are engaged in your devotional service. So his idea was, get everybody as much as possible engaged in devotional service. Then the Lord will be pleased to deliver them. He's the friend of suffering humanity. Okay, I'll stop there. Any questions?